Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
Time is just 8:31. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem on 101.9 Chai FM. I don't know if you've been following that story at all, but to me it's actually the best thing. The best thing on social media right now is I'm not a cat. And that's going to be the phrase for 2021. I think for 2020 the phrase was you're on mute. 2021 it's going to be I'm not a cat. And I don't know if you followed the story, but when Judge Roy Ferguson opened up a virtual proceeding of the 394th Judicial District Court in Texas that was on Zoom on Tuesday, he was not expecting to see two lawyers and a kitten. The cute blue-eyed cat at the bottom right-hand corner was actually County Attorney Rod Ponton, but he was covered, by a filter. Mr. Ponton, I believe you have the filter on in your video setting, said the judge. Ponton said him and his assistants were trying to fix the filter. I'm here live. I'm not a cat, he said. I can see that, said the judge. It's seriously, if you haven't seen this video, just go and watch it. You won't be able to only watch it once. You're going to be watching it a number of times. It is just one of those COVID world Zoom moments that each and every one of us could relate to. It's changed our world. It's changed how we're thinking, which is why I wanted to chat to psychiatrist and public sector national convener of the South African Society of psychiatrists, Dr. Kagiso Marongwanya. And I do apologize for totally butchering your name. Absolute great apologies from me. Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah, no, it's fine. It's Maruhangi. Yeah.
Maruhangi. You know what? The funny thing is, I genuinely try, but I've got the most white male pronunciation of anything ever, and I just never get it right. But be that as it may. Mental health, 2021. How are we doing, and how do you anticipate we're going to be doing?
Well, the sense that we are getting in the practices and even in the clinics in the government is that the numbers are creeping up. We see more and more people present with mental illness. You find that the classics, which is anxiety and depression, more and more people are presenting to the private practices. And they won't necessarily say it's because of COVID. But COVID obviously has had secondary consequences, as you know, with job losses, social isolation, multiple deaths in the family. And I think at some point it becomes all too much, and then people end up presenting to us in the clinics or in the private practices. Yeah.
How were we doing before COVID?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Yeah, we were doing badly as people, you know.
Because I always think of this as maybe a pre-existing condition or comorbidity.
Yes. No. I think even before COVID, there were high rates of common mental illnesses, and which will be major depressive disorder, anxiety, and substance-related substance use disorders. These have always been there at about 16% to 18%, prevalence rate. It's just that, you know, either people don't know the signs or when they're becoming ill, or they don't want to seek help, or they ignore it. So maybe, you know, there wasn't a flood of people coming through prior to COVID. But we are seeing that. And the other thing is that one cannot assume that just because you are not calling a psychologist and seeing a psychologist or psychiatrist that everybody else is not. I'm finding even before COVID, more and more people were presenting to us seeking help.
And of course, the isolation. Certainly, we've noticed it with the older people, the older generation that we are concerned about. It really, the isolation is a major factor when it comes to mental health.
No, that's very true. I mean, it's one thing if you're used to being on your own and you're self-reliant and you've got a good level of self-esteem and, you know, you've got a sort of a good program of how, what you can do by yourself. You've got a got some hobbies and a work, for example, to keep you busy. But for a lot of people, you know, I think there was some almost like over reliance on being with other people and social interaction. And once that was cut off, it certainly made them quite anxious, and after a while they became quite depressed because they didn't have that social support that they used to have in order to cope with distress.
So I always wonder, you know, we all live on a, it's all about a scale, isn't it? And at some stages and some days we have better days, some days we have worse days. COVID is probably readjusts the whole graph down because we all are facing isolation, concern about the economy, concerned about health. There's all of these things. How do you know when it's no longer normal or when to seek help?
Yes, I think just like before COVID, the same presentation applies. So basically, if the symptoms continue for quite a long time, we're talking 2 weeks or more, and we're talking about not sleeping well. You go to bed, but you wake up in the middle of the night, and then you go and sleep again. Obviously, poor appetite, you know, and not wanting to eat, having only one meal a day. Also becoming more irritable, so you find that parents start shouting a little bit more at their kids compared to before. And then obviously, you know, the classic one of feeling depressed, but also losing interest in activities. So things that you used to normally enjoy doing, you know, no one do them. And the one thing that needs to be kept in mind is that it doesn't mean that there's a flood of these things happening with severe intensity all at the same time. They sort of creep up on you, you know. So the one week you're not sleeping well for 2 days, and then the other week, then it gets worse and worse and worse. So it's insidious, and that's why people miss it or people don't take it that seriously.
How are we doing in the public sector with regard to mental health and to being able to provide people with the support that they need?
Yes, I know in Gauteng, post-Life is Dimeni, a group of psychiatrists were put together to look at how to strengthen mental health in the districts, in the community. And a lot of work was done, came up with strategic documents. And the government has taken up calls for a lot more mental health positions or employees than before. And now we're looking at increasing the beds in the local hospitals. And looking at other ways where we can improve the general mental health care system in Gauteng. So at least that we'll be preparing ourselves for the next for the mental health tsunami that may come, and we're hoping that we can sort of duplicate this to other provinces, so that you know we're in a better position to handle the flood of mental health mentally ill patients.
You're speaking in quite extreme terms, which is of course an alarm bell for me. But you're saying the tsunami of mental health, flood of mental health concerns. You very clearly anticipating a rough year for South African mental health.
Yes, I think even before it was already rough. You know, I think the misconception is that simply because I don't speak out and say I'm depressed doesn't mean I'm not depressed. That's the first thing, and the second thing is that people would be depressed and would be anxious, and they used to turn to alcohol and drugs in order to self-medicate. So that was a lot of that was happening. So maybe we didn't see the huge numbers that we should be seeing. But now with this prolonged pandemic, it's probably going to go for another 2 years. There are a few waves, and you must also understand that you know within families, it's not like one person is dying per family. If we get like 2-3 people all passing away, and then the people who are left behind are going to be orphaned. I know in the Eastern Cape, one of the
numbers coming out there are horrific.
That's quite worth about it.
So, have there been additional facilities set up? Do we have the, not only the infrastructure, but do we have enough qualified people in this field to be able to deal with, as you said, the tsunami that's going to be coming?
Yes. No, previously there's always been a lack of enough qualified people, definitely. And like I said, at least in Gauteng, they recognize this and we're getting more and more psychiatrists, psychologists and counselors being employed. And at least that'll help. And the thing is that it's not necessarily about having a lot of highly qualified psychiatrists being available. Even registered counselors, who can offer some basic counseling would be good enough to help people overcome their distress. And for me, just simple depression, distress, or having adjustment disorder is still quite a serious condition for me, and I still want people to be attended to. So what is not suggesting that all of a sudden now the streets are going to be full of people with schizophrenia, but certainly the common ones are going to be more common, and I still feel that they're serious enough to be attended to.
So your advice to people, if we are, it's much harder to see it in yourself, maybe help us to identify whether it's one of our teenagers, our friends, spouses, partners, whatever that would be, parents, work colleagues. What are we looking out for in order to encourage them to get help?
Yes, I think one of the key features of depression, for example, would be, the one that we know, being depressed, but also lots of interest in activities. So if you're inviting someone to go out or to some function, then they're constantly declining. Of course, at the beginning, they may always say that they're busy and stuff like that. But if they're constantly declining, you need to start wondering, has this person lost interest in activities? And then, people make a joke of it, but people always say, I'm tired. But that could be a sign of fatigue as well. So there's something to look out for. And then if they're sort of impatient, not willing, being irritable, I think that's another sign that I'll look for. So I think for me, when you're looking at friends, this is what you should be on the lookout for. But for teenagers, you find that they tend to isolate themselves, so they're in a room much more than you would normally expect. And then even their academic performance is going down. So that's another factor that one has to look for. But if somebody's complaining a lot, I mean, be worried. Be worried something may be going on.
I complain all the time. I think I'm going to be, wow, I could, yeah. I'm worried about me. No, I don't really.
But if all of a sudden somebody's complaining about work or a specific thing, they may already be in the throes of a depression state, and it's a matter of asking those features that I spoke about, then maybe you should see someone. Yeah.
Absolutely brilliant. Fascinating interview and really just such a great conversation, because it really does put things into a perspective. Psychiatrist and Public Sector National Convener of the South African Society of Psychiatrists, Dr. Maro Khanya. Thank you for taking the time to speak to us, and just keep doing the great work that you are doing.
Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.